Welcome to Vox Talks, a new series of audio interviews with top economic researchers from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vaitalingam, and today I'm talking to Professor Richard Baldwin, Editor-in-Chief of Vox, an economics website launched in June 2007, to provide what it calls research-based policy analysis and commentary by leading economists. Richard is Policy Director of the Centre for Economic Policy Research, the network of researchers behind Vox. He is also Professor of International Economics at the Graduate Institute of International Studies in Geneva. Richard, perhaps we could start by you telling us what Vox is exactly and why you set it up.
Well, Vox is, as you said, it's a way for serious researchers to write about the policy implications of their serious research. I had noticed that the profession was doing extremely relevant work, especially with the move towards empirics, but that economists had stopped talking about the policy implications of their work in the research. So I saw a gap between what the researchers had to say to the world and what the world was hearing from them. So in some sense, I saw on the supply side, I saw a bunch of serious researchers who actually do care about policy but don't really have time to write it up. Very few of them are able or interested in writing in newspapers. But they don't really have time to run their own blog or to write long policy papers for Brookings or economic policy such as that. And then on the demand side, I noticed that many of the blogs were popular when they talked about real research, the filter blogs who sort of search through what's interesting and write up little bits on the web.
Okay, so you're a year on from the launch of Vox. How do you feel it's done? Have you achieved what you set out to do?
Well, achieved is a big word. We've certainly made a lot of progress. Our goal was to create a community of people, of readers and contributors. I commission all the articles, so I have a much closer finger on the pulse of the supply side. And there, it has been quite a success. We've had over 500 people contribute to Vox, including some of the biggest names in the profession. And they seem to be very, very happy to have this outlet for their policy. On the demand side, we've been growing. We're up to over 10,000 distinct visitors a day, with about 30,000 page views. And that sounds a lot to an academic who's happy if they get three or four sites to their article. But in the world of the blog, that's tiny. So we're growing, and I think there's lots of room to go up. But it's inevitably a bit limited, since we are focusing on trained economists rather than the general surfing audience, which numbers in the millions, or if not tens or hundreds of millions.
Sure, sure. So what have been the greatest hits so far for Vox in terms of the kinds of topics you've your writers have covered and the authors themselves?
Right. Well, the unchallenged leader is Steve Giachetti, writing about the subprime crisis. In fact, that was our first huge hit, although Paul Krugman had written on trade and inequality a little bit before. But what Steve did was explain on August 7th, extremely early, what was going on with the subprime crisis. Myself and I think most economists, even trade economists, couldn't quite understand how some deadbeat mortgage borrowers in the United States could bring down a major, could bring down a Landesbank and cause the Fed to jump up and down and change the world. And what Steve did was Frequently Asked Questions, Subprime Crisis. He explained how these mortgages had been packeted and securitized and then sold, and that the fact that it was a very non-transparent, non-traded market led to all these web meltdowns. And after that, there was just a long sequence of real experts, research economists, many of them who have had positions in central banks or finance ministries like Giachetti, with an intimate knowledge of the market and the research. They wrote a series of very interesting things. And most of the columns on finance, the exchange rates, things like that, do very well.
So in a way, your timing was very good. You launched in June 2007 and subprime broke in August 2007.
Yes, it's good. Well, fortunately, the world keeps throwing up crises. It's amazing. Recently, we had the Irish rejection and a couple columns on that. Now the food prices are, commodity prices, fuel prices are rising, and a lot of people don't quite understand why that's happening. we're moving into a world where maybe inflationary expectations are coming unanchored and the central banks are reacting in the U.S. and Europe, for example, are reacting very differently. So there's still lots of exciting things. But the subprime crisis had this unique feature that it was extremely complicated to understand just what was going on. And the mainstream newspapers were writing about things like liquidity crises in vague terms, and you really couldn't figure out what was going on from the mainstream newspapers. And here Vox let a guy like Steve Giacchetti or Boyder or any number of the other ones use economics jargon, which allowed them to communicate with their fellow economists. And afterwards, the mainstream newspapers started increasing the sophistication of their coverage, not just the FT, but others as well.
So in a way, you really were filling a clear gap in communication of understanding about economic issues.
Right. That's certainly our hope. And I believe from the kind of echoes we get in the blogosphere, in other words, I can track to see who's commenting on Vox columns, and the people who do comment them seem to be quite pleased with this, even though sometimes the underlying research is, or usually the underlying research is in the public domain, the non-specialist economists won't actually go and read the working paper. But if, somebody like Guido Tavolini writes up a 1,500-word column on what it is in his research that you need to know about, then people do read about it. I was inspired to a certain extent by what goes on in the medical industry or medical science, where there you have researchers doing highly technical things. The medical research will be, say, identifying a particular receptacle on a particular cell. Mm-hmm. And the first part of the article is totally technical. But at the end, they have a discussion where the researcher is allowed to speculate on what this might mean for treatments of Alzheimer's or whatever 10 years down the road. And in economics, we don't have that anymore. You're not encouraged to put in a sort of policy implications section at the end of your paper on some technical estimation, say, of spillovers or something like that. And Vox allows them to do that. And the other thing I think which I was inspired with is that these doctors don't make it a free-for-all. Like, there's many, many of the economics blogs where anybody and everybody comments on it and talks about it as if they're, qualified to talk about technical issues in economics. In the medical journals, you have to be a doctor, often a research doctor, to comment and discuss the issues. And to a certain extent, the idea of Vox is to raise the debate to trained economists rather than the standard talk you get on the web, which is a wonderful thing. It's just we don't need any more of that. This was something that was missing.
Right. So I mean, do you think the blogosphere, the economics blogosphere, Vox in particular, are kind of changing the way that not only the economists communicate with the wider world, but with each other?
Yes, I do. I think I like to think about there's two different types of economics blogs. The most popular ones are actually just filters. So if you look at a typical post, more than half of the post will just be cut and paste from somewhere else, with a few pithy comments in between, giving their opinion, and then often they're cutting and pasting from other blogs and commenting on what other bloggers said. So those are filters, and you go to them because some smart guy whose tastes you like has spent a lot of time surfing the web and told you about the best stuff that day. But they're not really putting on substantial original content. Whereas there's a few sites like Krugman's blog or Freakonomics, where most of the columns are substantial original material, and that's where we hope to be.
As far as
the influencing the profession, I think so very much. I think you can see the printed media, the commentary in printed media is just melting away. They're getting smaller, less frequent. They're in the print media referring to their online editions, and the blogs on the online editions of, say, Financial Times or New York Times or Economist Magazine, they're really exploding. So I think it's changing the way economists talk to policymakers. Maybe, probably not at all when it comes to research talking to each other, but in terms of following what's going on in other specialties, I think the web really has changed that.
Great. And final question, Richard. Where next for Vox? You've done very well for a year. What are the plans for the future?
Well, we're going to launch a series of features in June, a couple of features anyways. The first one, of course, is the one you're listening to, with a podcast. We'll have interviews at least one a week with Vox columnists, and that those will accompany the columns or sometimes be separate from the columns. The other one is we're trying to put up some features which create a community of Vox readers. The first one will be an events page where people can list seminars and courses and conferences and things like that. So self-posting, the readers can post the events, and so they can see where things are going on. Later on in the fall, we'll expand those options in a number of interesting ways. And in particular, we're going to set up what's called Vox Debates, where we take a set of issues, say the subprime or the Doha crisis or food prices or something like that, and there'll be a moderator who allows more substantial commentary from economists who aren't necessarily leading economists but are very serious economists. And so it'll be something like letters to the editor where economists are commenting on Vox columns. I shouldn't say it's just less well-known economists, but it'll be a little bit like Martin Wolf's forum, but more free-ranging and on a wider range of topics.
Well, happy birthday, Vox, and best of luck for the future. Richard Baldwin, thank you very much.
Thank you.